Hi, hello, and welcome to Youth Updates, a regular drop of info to help keep you in the know when it comes to youth culture. Welcome back to another episode of Youth Updates. We're so glad that you have joined us and the voices that you're hearing at the moment. So on this episode, we have got me, Hannah.
And also me, Beth.
And we're joined by some really special guests who we're going to introduce in just a second. So these guys are from Phase Trust. And Phase Trust is a charity who've been around for nearly 25 years. And they work with children and young people across the West Midlands. And they do some amazing work, which they're going to tell us more about in a little while. So firstly, let's find out who we've got joining with us. So first person who's on the list, introduce yourself, who you are. It might get a bit confusing with the names, but it all should all be fine. Who you are and what you do at Phase Trust, and also your favourite kind of cheese.
Okay.
I feel like it tells a lot about a person.
Yeah. So my name's Hannah also, but I'm Hannah Hughes. And I am the Exploitation and Community Engagement Lead at Phase Trust. So I head up the stream that kind of looks at anything exploitation-wise. And we will go a little bit more into what that is later. My favourite cheese is definitely the Laughing Cow cheese, the cow cheese. I love a bit of that on a cracker.
Lovely. I rate that.
Yeah.
Brings back childhood dreams, that does.
Love it. And then person number two. I feel like I've made this really mysterious.
Mystery person number two.
Would you like to introduce yourself, what you do at Phase Trust, and also your favourite kind of cheese, please?
So my name is Pete, or Peter. I am male exploitation lead, and my favourite cheese has got to be brie.
I love a good brie. I saw a recipe for whipped brie the other day. It looks amazing. We can chat after the podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh. It looks phenomenal.
Okay.
And very fancy. But cheese aside, was just wondering if one of you guys could tell us just a little bit more about who are Phase Trust? Like, what do you guys do as a whole? Obviously, we've heard a little bit about specific roles, but could you just give us a bit of a better picture of just Phase Trust in general and your work?
Yeah, so like I said before, Phase have been going nearly 25 years. We're celebrating that next year. And we have lots of different areas of work. So we've got five different streams, which is personal development in secondary, and then we've got personal development in primary schools as well. We've also got a family stream where we support parents, and a lot of that work can be around bereavement and various other things in just supporting parents and families. Then we have our exploitation stream, which me and Pete will talk about, and then we also have a harmful sexual behaviour department as well. So there are five streams of work, and we do lots of different works around schools, around days, around training, you name it, we probably do it. So there's a good team of I think 13 of us. Yeah. In total now. Yeah. And we kind of all have our different areas of specialties and things that we're really passionate about, but obviously me and Pete focus more on the exploitation stream. So Pete, do you want to talk a bit more about what we do in our stream?
Yeah, so within the exploitation stream, we do a lot of one-to-one sessions in school, so mentoring young people who may be exploited or on the peripheral of being exploited. We also do group work around gang culture and what that looks like, and we do a lot of music-based stuff with some of the young people because they're into music. Yeah. And listen to lots of different styles of genres of music. We also run a drop-in center on a Friday night, and we go on detached on a Wednesday and also a Friday after school and in the evening on a Friday.
Just a few things then.
just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But yeah, you guys are like getting out there where the young people are, which is really, really great. Awesome. Yeah. So you guys mentioned detached work there. Some people may or may not know kind of what that involves. Could you tell us a bit more about kind of what that actually looks like for you guys.
Yeah, so detached work is probably one of my favourite things that I get to do. Ooh. But we essentially are out and about in our community. So we mainly do it in Hales Owen, which is where we are based. And we go out and we walk around. We have little areas that we usually find specific young people that we've got good relationships with, usually around the bus stop, outside Asda, and sometimes McDonald's, usual locations. But we kind of just go out, have walk around specific areas, chat to young people, kind of get to know them. And now, like I say, we kind of have regular young people that we see kind of every week. But we also, one of my favourite things is kind of community-based side of detached work. So we talk to like the local shopkeepers, the local pub kind of landlords, and all of things like that, where we get to kind of real build relationships where they might be having problems with young people in our community. And we get to go in and have conversations with them about, one, how can we serve them and support them with the problems that they're having, but also kind of bridge that gap between communication between them and young people, and how we can kind of, yeah, just connect people a bit more, which is great.
I love that sort of joined up thinking as well. Sort of thinking wider than the young people, but the whole surrounding elements of it as well. Yeah. And that's amazing.
Yeah, it's been really good.
So moving on to our next question. So from your guys' perspective, because you guys are a day in, day out with young people, what are the biggest concerns you see when it comes to young people who are affected by criminal exploitation?
So for me, the biggest concerns are young people carrying knives. A lot of young people we work with will say they go out on the streets, do carry weapons, and I think for me it's helping them understand the consequences of doing that and the actions if they are to use that weapon, and try and challenge their views and opinions on that while trying to keep them safe at the same time. And another one for me, which is absolutely massive, social media. As I mentioned earlier, young people are into music, but within social media, there's a lot of diss tracks that they will do to one another and
just
against one another.
Just a quick side note, for someone listening who doesn't know what a diss track is.
Yeah. Yeah, so a diss track is basically, how can I say this? Basically talking against the other person in a negative way. Mm. Just making them look silly. So, yeah.
It's like, you could almost see it as like a boxing match, yeah, but via music. So yeah, like someone throws their punch where they make a YouTube video and they have their rapping, and then someone will come back at them. So it's almost like this fight, but with using words and music, is kind of probably a way to explain it.
I think as well, it's not just around the music, it's what people post, videos that go around on Snapchat, Instagram. Although social media is an amazing thing, it can also be a dangerous thing as well. So for me, those are two things that are the biggest concerns.
Yeah, I think 100% agree. But I think one of, just to add on as well, is drugs. We can't really do our job without talking about drugs, unfortunately. I think when we look at exploitation, not even just criminal exploitation, but exploitation as a whole, it's rare that drugs hasn't been involved, or alcohol. And recently, in the last kind of week or so, there has been like a drug alert that's been released, because unfortunately across the country there's contaminated drugs, where kind of drugs that young people would normally take or have been taking for maybe a long time are contaminated with stronger opioids, where they can be between 50 to 500 times more kind of potent than heroin. So it's like, it's a pretty big thing, and this is kind of, it's rare. It's not, I don't want people panicking thinking, oh my goodness, like, but it is there and it's something we need to be aware of. And I think we have so many young people that think that drugs is just no big deal now and that it's become normalized. And that's one of the biggest things we talk about, isn't it, Pete? That when we were younger, like to take a pill or, do you know what I mean, to snort cocaine was quite a big deal. And it was like you'd be seen as a drug addict if you did those, whereas now it's just normalized behavior. It's just like it's no big deal to pop a pill at a party, or so there's a massive difference between how young people view drugs now to what, like, 5-10 years ago. And I think with the strength of drugs rising as well, young people not being aware of what the impact of them taking that drug, so kind of having those conversations with young people and raising the risks of overdoses and having those conversations is unfortunately becoming more and more vital to our work.
So this isn't a question I necessarily like approach with you guys, but in terms of stuff like this, the knife crime, drugs, the stuff on social media, like, for people who are listening, like, how commonly do you see these things amongst, I guess, young people and youth culture? Like, obviously with your work you're gonna see more of it naturally because it's what you specialize in, but say if you were to, like, you know, take a rough look at, like, the UK, like, how, like, would you say it's a really small minority? Would you say actually this happens a lot more than people think? Like, sort of, where would you scale this, I guess, on how, I guess, common some of this is?
For me, I would say it happens a lot more than you think, but if you don't know what you're looking for, you may not understand what's going on.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there is a level of, we don't want to freak people out. And actually, probably in your normal youth work, especially within churches, it might be just one or two or a handful that are really at risk or vulnerable to this. But I think in terms of increasing drug use is on the rise. Increase in carrying weapons is on the rise. So I don't want people thinking, oh, their whole youth ministry is is just gonna turn overnight, but actually we are seeing increases in all these areas. And so therefore young people as a population are going to have an increase in this, so therefore as church youth workers, as people who work in schools, as whatever it is that you're doing to engage with young people, you have to be aware that some of this is happening. And it might be with the young people that you least expect it. Like, we had a lad that came to our drop-in, and I would have never said he'd say boo to a goose, but unfortunately he ended up being entrenched in criminal exploitation. And it was it was a bit mind-blowing because he wasn't who we expected, and we see it every day. Like, so I think sometimes it can be in the least expected spaces. So it's just something to kind of be aware of. But I think it's not every young person, but it is on the rise.
But I think even, like, people who say who predominantly work in youth ministry in a church context, like, I know someone a while ago said, you know, they see the young people that are part of their ministry, not just the ones who come in their church building walls, but actually all the ones in their entire community. And so I guess when you start thinking outside the walls of wherever you meet for those ministry things, it sort of opens it up a bit more, doesn't it? But thanks for sharing.
And I think as well, like, I mean, you mentioned it might just be the one or two who, like, you come into close contact with, but I think being able to recognize maybe that there's something deeper going on could make the world a difference for that one or two, couldn't it, as well? I think getting yourself more clued up, which kind of leads us on to our next question a little bit.
So I guess we've heard a little bit to give a bit of a framework of sort of awareness and some information about this stuff, but for people who regularly come into contact with young people in various different contexts, like, what would you recommend them to be aware of and, like, how to help with some of this stuff?
So, there's lots. So I would say if they're appearing with brand new clothes that they can't explain how they've got, or lots of different mobile phones that they're holding, a change in their behaviours or demeanour, or could be the way they talk. So more slang or more ghetto talk potentially. What else?
Yeah, it might be that like parents are noticing things going missing in the house. Suddenly they're wanting to sell their Xbox is quite a common one. Or things that they would normally be quite precious over, maybe they're trying to get money for. I think
going missing.
So we regularly work with police with missing young people. Yeah. And it could be that they're missing for an hour. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to be plastered all over Facebook and they're a missing child, but it could be that they're regularly missing a specific kind of period of time. It might be missing from education. It doesn't necessarily have to be overnight and this kind of big scary thing. It could be that they're just after school, they're you're not seeing them for a couple of hours, or they're normally coming to your youth group every Wednesday and suddenly they're not. And why do we ask the question of why are they not? Where are they okay?
I think as well, just because we've said these things, it doesn't mean someone is in a gang or that's happening. I think it's about finding out more information before moving forward and doing what you think needs to be done. Gathering information is important. So if somebody does come with new clothes, don't just think they're involved in gangs or it's about gathering more intel and
And our biggest thing is relationship. Like we will say that until the cows come home.
100%.
But I think you will notice changes if you've got a relationship with young people. So like whether that's in schools, whether that's in your youth groups, or whatever spaces that you're engaging with young people, if you're building relationships with them that are kind of good, one, hopefully they'll come and talk to you about stuff that maybe they're struggling with, or they're not sure, or maybe even a friend of theirs is going through some stuff that they want to come and get your advice on. But that will be through relationship and trust. But also you will be in a position to notice things changing, notice behaviours if you're close with them, if you've got a relationship with them. So I think one of our biggest things is relationship.
100%.
Always focus on that.
And so like if through that relationship that someone becomes aware that they're like, I am pretty sure this young person is being, you know, involved in criminal exploitation, what's the next step there? Like what should someone do?
Yeah, so different areas have different processes, but we're heavily involved with our local authority. If there's kind of immediate concerns, it's children's services. So we have a whole process where we do screening tools and kind of forms have to be filled out. So it'd be whatever people's safeguarding processes are in that sense. But there'll be loads of kind of services out there locally that will be able to kind of have that impact really. Violence Reduction Partnership, so a VRP, they're kind of linked with the police, but they're a Home Office funded thing currently. It's not going to last for much longer, but every area should have a VRP, so people should fairly easily be able to find out who their VRP is. And they offer training, they offer connected kind of things into who's the right people for the right services, because in our area we know of we are one of the services, but there are a drug and alcohol service, there are county line services, there's specific child sexual exploitation services, and every area will have, people like Bernardo's or St. Giles or things like that, or their local services like Phase Trust. So it's kind of finding out what's in place for you in your area, and kind of seeing what training they offer, what kind of services do they offer, can you refer a young person to them. But also schools, obviously if you're in a school, you follow their safeguarding procedure and you should know who the people are to talk to, and they should know their local process. So if you're struggling to know where and who, your local school should have their protocol and their process that should be able to help you with that really.
Amazing. That's really some of that stuff I didn't even know existed, so that's amazing to hear. So I mean, thank you for sort of sharing some of that stuff.
So we've got to that point in the podcast where we are going to do our word of the month, and FaZe, the guys from FaZe, are going to give us a few words in just a minute. But firstly, we need to do the jingle. You know how it goes.
Yes, we do.
So I'll count us in and you guys are going to join in, of course. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Word of the month.
I actually really enjoyed that so much.
That was top tier content, everyone.
Yeah. Amazing. So you guys, we were chatting before the podcast started about what we were going to do for our word of the month. And you guys just enlightened us with a lot of vocab for things like knife, things like police. So yeah, let us know of all of those words that you had. So I think you had some words for knives and some words for police. Enlighten us, please.
Shank.
What does that mean?
So a shank is a knife, and
a fed is a police officer.
Ah, even though we're not American.
Yeah. Still. You've also got chef.
That's a new one for me.
For a knife. That's a knife as well.
That is.
So shank and chef. A knife and a fed.
Yeah, I'd never heard the chef one before. Mm. And the thing is, I'm the kind of person, if a young person started talking about it, I'd probably be like, oh, they're really into cooking.
Yeah. Like, they want to be a chef when they're old.
They've got good ambitions.
To like Jamie Oliver, like, I'd be like clueless. So I feel like this is very educational for me.
Amazing. But we have reached the end of the podcast, haven't we, Beth?
Yes, we have indeed. So please make sure that you are following us on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts to make sure you get every episode. We, of course, will be having the written version of this and any links to anything that we have sourced at yfc.co.uk/youthupdate. But we have absolutely loved having Pete and Hannah with us. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you guys for listening to the podcast as well. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.